By the winter of 1944, the war in Western Europe seemed to be moving toward its final act, yet the road to Germany remained more difficult than many Allied soldiers had imagined during the triumphant summer that followed D-Day. The liberation of Paris, the collapse of German defenses across France, and the rapid Allied advance toward the borders of the Reich had created an atmosphere of expectation, even among commanders who knew better than to underestimate the enemy. From Normandy to Belgium, from the hedgerows of France to the ruined industrial towns near the German frontier, the armies of Dwight D. Eisenhower had pushed forward with enormous momentum. But that momentum had slowed. Supply lines stretched back hundreds of miles to the beaches and ports of France. Fuel, ammunition, winter clothing, replacement troops, and spare parts did not arrive with the speed required by modern mechanized war. The failure to seize a quick victory through Operation Market Garden had left the Allies without a direct bridge into the German heartland, and the port of Antwerp, though captured, could not be fully used until the Scheldt estuary was cleared. As autumn turned into winter, the Western Front hardened. The forests, hills, rivers, and fortified towns of the German borderlands reminded Allied commanders that the Reich would not collapse simply because its armies had retreated. The war had entered a colder, harsher phase, one in which optimism met mud, fog, exhaustion, and the stubborn endurance of a wounded but still lethal enemy. For Adolf Hitler, the strategic situation was desperate, but desperation did not lead him toward defensive realism. Instead, it pushed him toward one last enormous gamble. Germany was being crushed between two massive fronts. The Soviet armies in the east and the Anglo-American forces in the west. German cities were battered by Allied bombing, the Luftwaffe was a shadow of its former strength, fuel supplies were critically low, and the Wehrmacht had already lost millions of trained men. Yet Hitler still believed that a dramatic blow in the west could change the course of the war. His goal was not merely to delay the Allies, but to split them, seize the great port of Antwerp, and perhaps force Britain and the United States into political crisis. In his mind, the Western Allies were fragile partners whose unity depended on success. If a German offensive could drive a wedge between the British and American armies, destroy major Allied formations, and recapture the initiative, Hitler imagined that Germany might compel a negotiated peace in the West and then turn its full strength against the Soviet Union. It was a fantasy built upon selective memory, ideological stubbornness, and refusal to accept material reality. Yet it was also dangerous because Germany, even near defeat, still possessed experienced officers, disciplined soldiers, powerful armored formations, and the ability to achieve surprise under the right conditions. The plan that emerged was called Operation Watch on the Rhine, a deliberately defensive-sounding name intended to conceal its offensive purpose. The chosen battlefield was the Ardennes, a region of dense forests, steep ridges, narrow roads, and small villages spread across eastern Belgium and Luxembourg. The choice was not accidental. In 1940, German armored forces had stunned France and Britain by driving through the Ardennes, a region many Allied planners had considered unsuitable for major armored operations. Now Hitler hoped to repeat that strategic shock in reverse circumstances, striking through an area held by relatively thin American lines. The terrain favored concealment, and the winter weather could neutralize Allied air superiority, at least temporarily. Low clouds, fog, snow, and freezing rain would make it difficult for Allied aircraft to spot and attack German columns. The offensive would rely on speed, surprise, captured fuel, and the ability of German armored spearheads to push through American defenses before the Allies could understand the scale of the attack. On paper, it was bold. In practice, it required nearly everything to go right for Germany at a moment when Germany had very little margin for error. The German High Command did not share Hitler's confidence, although few could oppose him openly.